Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'll try to keep my remarks a little bit short given the day. Today, we really have three events of some significance. Today is April 20th, 420, which is a reference to marijuana. We have the 20th anniversary of Columbine, and we have Pesach. And so I want to touch on each of those in turn. And first of all, there's a really interesting thread on the Oregon Board of Rabbis email listserv the other day, because Rabbi Michael Kahana was called by a reporter from the Forward wanting to know if Beth Israel was going to be doing anything special for Passover and 420 and Marijuana Day. Rabbi Kahana was taken a little bit aback. He said, no, how interesting. You should have called a month ago. Maybe we could have planned something. And it was just a lot of jokes went back and forth between that. I mentioned that because, as some of you know, I've been working for quite a while now and have a partner now with the conservative movement writing a teshuva on whether or not marijuana, recreational marijuana, is permissible in a state where it is allowed recreationally. And it's an interesting topic. Some of you I've had conversations with in this for some depth. But to me, one of the questions, at least, is marijuana a form of freedom from the stress that modern life produces for so many? Or is it a new form of bondage and substance use? And a lot of what we're really struggling with and gathering, I got some very interesting materials just the past week, is the medical basis of this. What do we actually know about marijuana? And it's really interesting because on the one hand, there are a lot of people who can use regularly and don't seem to become end up in a state of bondage. And there's a lot of damage also that we're really beginning to understand. It certainly happens to younger brains and to certain individuals also. And trying to figure that out and trying to figure out when does Judaism make a rule that would apply for the vast majority of people, and when does it need to have some concern for a sizable but smaller group of people who are clearly having negative health impacts from it. And I don't know where we'll end up with that, but on 420 and in a society with opioid addictions and so many other forms of bondage, it's an interesting topic to sort of consider. What should we as an Am Kadosh and a Mamlechet Kohanim, what a holy nation and a people, a nation of priests, should do in relationship to what is now becoming as practically as common as air. You got a question over there? Okay. Comment?
Yeah. What are the issues with why it's a sacrament and has the mandatory four cups of wine at the Seder? How can that not be a guideline as to the use of a substance which has both positive and negative effects?
Beautiful. So one question is, just because you have one substance which has negative impacts on the books, does that mean that you should therefore expand it to another substance which may have positives but also has negatives? So it's an interesting notion. By that logic, we could expand it to a wide category of substances, and that's not such a clear answer, right? As a corollary, if you were to go back in time in Judaism, you'd see that smoking was not only permitted but encouraged, and that there are all sorts of references to how to smoke tobacco in a spiritual manner and what sort of smoke clouds to blow. And as we learned more about the deleterious effects of tobacco, the halakha changed and it was outlawed. So it's an interesting question, and we can see that there are that your question doesn't itself have an easy solution, and we can come up with answers both ways for that. So that's at 420 today. I figured we should touch about on that. Second, and a little bit more disturbing certainly, is that this is the 20th anniversary of Columbine. And with that has begun a modern plague of school shootings. And while schools in many ways are getting safer, we see that what began in Columbine 20 years ago continues to plague our nation. And we are really lacking in a general consensus as to how to go about doing that. Certainly here in Oregon, we've got legislation trying to outlaw really weapons that are not made for hunting or self-protection, but high-capacity weapons, and we'll see what comes of that. But I think as a nation, right, every nation has certain challenges which become forms of bondage, issues that we cannot escape from and that seem to repeat themselves over and over and over. And that one is also something that has caused a lot of us a great deal of pain and concern and is not at all clear what the simple solution would be that enough of us as a majority could agree to. I have my answers. I bet many in this room share them, but it remains a challenge for us. I finally want to end with a column, with an idea from the Me'am Lo Ez. The Me'am Lo Ez is the work by Rabbi Yaakov Kuli. He was born in 1689, either in Jerusalem or Sfat. We don't know which city, but one of the holy cities. He died in 1732, so at the age of 43, he really got quite an accomplishment. Very important Sephardic commentator on the Torah. And it is Me'am Lo Ez, which covered the book of Genesis and Exodus, were tremendously influential, and other people after he passed continued that commentary after it. He wrote a commentary to the Passover Haggadah, which was included in his comments on Exodus, so that he would take the verses that were connected to the story and he would expand them beyond the Torah's next selection and into the corollaries and issues in the Haggadah. And I want to offer you this one comment that he makes, which I think is sort of interesting. He was talking about how God saved the Israelites and what would have been the difference if we had freed ourselves. And he says, even if we had succeeded in escaping, we would not have thrown off the stigma of slavery. The Egyptians always would have considered us their escaped slaves. We would have been like the untouchables among the Indians. Even after thousands of years, the stigma would not have gone away. No matter what we did, we still would have been considered Pharaoh's slaves. If Pharaoh had freed us out of kindness, we always would have borne the stigma of freedom. We would have had such an obligation to the Egyptians that we could never have lived it down. Every day, we would have had to thank them for their kindness. If we had not, we would have been branded as ingrates. It is therefore important that God took us out of Egypt through wonders and miracles. So here's a question. Here's what this raises for me is a very interesting question that I offer you for your seders tonight. We can think about other peoples who have been enslaved. We can think about our country's incredible difficulty to end the horrible history of slavery in this nation. We can think about the fact that it was done by fiat, by one president, and that we still are dealing with all sorts of institutional and structural sorts of racism that we're trying to deal with. We can look at Russia and its revolution, which has backtracked repeatedly since Glasnost and since it's a movement. We can go throughout history, I think, and find examples when people themselves were responsible and didn't fully enjoy the fruits of their activity. So here's the question. We don't know enough about the history of the Exodus from a real historical basis. We don't know what happened. We have a couple of verses in corresponding literature which seems to apply there was a Hebrew sort of people in Egypt. But the story that we tell ourselves is the story of God saving us, and that is really a central part of our identity. And one of the gifts, I think, that we've been given as Jews is that despite the fact that we have been on the receiving end of so much structural hatred and racism throughout the ages and in so many countries, we have not viewed ourselves as a whole as victims. And I think that that's remarkable because it'd be hard-pressed, I think, to find a nation that more could claim the title of being a victim and yet has refused to do so. And I think the Me'am Lo Ez highlights for us something about that fact. So the question for you guys, if you wish at your Seder, is to sort of think about that. is the narrative that we say that we were saved by God and not by our own abilities and devices essentialist or not? Does it tell us something about who we are? And how does that compare to Israel, in which it looks like human beings certainly were the agents who brought about the reestablishment of our ancient homeland? Three possibilities: marijuana, Columbine, and the forms of freedom, of a narrative of freedom, which truly does free a people. Chag Sameach.